This is Six Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bond and AJ Appleton.
Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, Mr. AJ Applegarth, now back at the top for the brief moment there. And okay. Mr. Dab Scout, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man. What up? Doing great.
All right, so we're gonna jump in this week talking about some of the we're gonna look at some of the data for both hitters and pitchers the last couple of weeks. Kind of give you just a taste of some of the good and the bad players, kind of what our take is on these guys. There's some surprising names at the top, some names that we should probably start paying closer attention to, especially on the good side. On the bad side, I don't know if we're ever going to say, like, drop some of these guys, but it's just sort of like, eh, this blows. But, you know, we'll kind of dig into it a little bit. And then obviously we'll jump through some other topics, including the Braves, Aaron Judge, Dap Scott's favorite player. And, yeah, we'll finish up there. So, without further ado, make sure you hit that subscribe button, that like button. If you're listening, follow, leave those 5-star reviews. We appreciate it. And of course, jump over to fantasysixpack.net, become an all access member. You're going to get access to our award winning rankings, our DFS cheat sheets, our DFS projections, our hitting and pitching planners, and then football season's right around the corner. I know a lot of you still are tuning in play fantasy football. So we've got our draft cheat sheet there. We've got our projections, our rankings. You get access directly to all of us on Discord, where you get to ask all of your questions directly to us. And go over there, subscribe. If you sign up now, there's a 2-week free trial included, so there's nothing to lose, right? Just try it out. If you hate us, just leave. I don't think you will. So, all right.
Great ringing endorsement. If you don't like us, well, we're still going to do this the same way.
But if you don't like me, I will cry. But if you don't like AJ, for example, I'm totally cool with that. But if you don't like me, I take it personal. I would be very upset.
I also take it personally if you do not like that. So
please don't
do that.
Okay. Because I'll call them at like 2 o'clock in the morning and be like, why don't they like me? Why?
So many answers, so little time. Okay, let's move it on.
Oh, okay.
Joe's doing Minesweeper.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to type out a tweet.
Plant that flag, bro.
I don't know. my daughter randomly was playing Minesweeper the other day. I was like, holy hell, I didn't know they still had that on computers. She's like, oh, they don't. It's online. And I'm like, what? Oh, my gosh.
It's an emulator, Dad. Ugh.
Yeah.
Jeez. Sorry. But anyway. All right. So let's jump in here to our first topic of the night. We're going to be jumping into some hitters here that are getting our attention as far as fantasy baseball goes. And, these were just, I think there's 8 names here that we highlighted, 9 names here that we highlighted that kind of stood out to us. And Dap, I'll let you start here. Who's the one that kind of, that got your attention the most and why?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, I think it's easy for me to say Stephen Kwan for me, but I'm going to say David Hamilton. I mean, we're talking about somebody who initially started off as a, pinch runner, stolen base threat, anytime he kind of came into the game and also would be starting every so often. Now he's an absolute must roster player in all but the shallowest of leagues. And it's just showing up hearing the numbers as well. I mean, we hit a lot of players here. So we're talking about, Steve Kwan, I believe, came up as the number 2 player. So he's the number 3 sell there. So David Hamilton is number 35 overall over this time span when WRC plus. But you got to look at all the other things that he's doing. I mean, his average is 357. You weren't expecting that as well, you know. But you're getting a guy who can get on base, create havoc with stolen bases, and of course, do runs. If you're getting a three category player, I'm excited, especially this late in the season, for free. If you drafted him, you're amazing, and I want to know all about you because you have a better strategy than I ever did. But David Hamilton was free on the waiver wire for the last couple of weeks, and now he's just shooting up. And yes, I knew he was pretty good, but these numbers are just showing you just how he can affect the game. And some of the other guys I was kind of, you know, guessing around, but yeah, David Hamilton for sure.
Yeah, I like the Hamilton call. I had him in a Fantrax league. I picked him up a few weeks back, and he was, like you said, more of a plug and play player for me. But I just couldn't take him out of my lineup once exactly. He started just kicking ass. I'm like, okay, well, I need these counting stats. This is helping. So here we go. The guy on here that I'd like to highlight though is Eliot Romos.
One I was going to say.
It's
a good one.
He has been very, very good since coming on as an everyday starter. He was a very highly touted prospect in San Fran's system a few years back. And, you know, we're finally kind of seeing, you know, this come to fruition. All that said, I actually just dropped him in a league today because he wasn't playing and I needed another player to jump in. But
it's a 16 league.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, how shallow
what
is this
going
league?
On, man? Oh,
is this like a crap. Is it if it's
it,
an well, AL
it,
only
it
league?
Is
I get
a
10 it.
Team league. I will
it's
say
a 10 that. Team AL only it, league. And so you're like, team. I can't even have him on my team. That makes sense.
I miraculously was able to get him on my team. It was amazing. But then they're like, oh, yeah, this is AL. It's like, oh, okay. But now, I mean, he's kind of taking a downturn. You know, he's been up and down. And I was really torn about dropping him, but I just didn't have anyone else really readily available that was like, this is a definite drop.
Did you just say he's up and down? I mean, look at these stats here, man. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's what, the 21st overall WRC plus. I mean, is it a five category league? Because I just don't want anybody to just follow your, you know, advice. Your
no,
without understanding.
Yeah, no, it's a points league. So,
oh, okay.
So we get dinged on the strikeouts. So that's where, for me, his kind of downturn comes in. But
understood.
As far as the hitting stats, yes, he's been awesome. But it was just, you know, I kind of rode the wave, like I said, and I'm probably going to be kicking myself for it, for drafting him.
Absolutely.
But we'll see.
Yeah, Joe? How are you, Joe?
Yeah, dropping Ramos is interesting. I mean, he hasn't had a home run in a little while, but like it's been five or six games. Like,
yeah,
okay with that. He's still hitting pretty nice. That's rough to. There's three outfield league or something, man. I don't understand. You must have pretty shallow benches on that. I'm not dropping Ramos in the two leagues I got him in. There's no way. Royce Lewis. Is somebody who kind of stood out to me, and you know he's coming back from the injury, and he's just come out just gangbusters, man. Four bombs already in eight games, no steals, but you know batting .321. The OBP over here is up at .354, so it doesn't walk a ton, but the OPS is at, you know, 1,017. Like, we're good. We're good here with Royce Lewis. Everybody that stashed him on the ILs are reaping the benefits there. A guy who's not on this list because I don't think the last 14 has been fantastic for him, but the and maybe the WRC Plus didn't call him out for whatever reason, but Paul DeJong
talking about that pre-show.
We were talking about this pre-show. This guy is just crushing baseballs right now. You know, it's probably a lot to do with the fact that like he's really not like he's not hitting for like a strong average. But since May 31st, he did hit a home run on that day. I just kind of randomly picked it. He has six home runs. He's batting .273, 11 RBI, no steals. You know, only nine runs scored. So, I mean, like, it's not like crazy good, but six home runs. Like, this guy's just obliterating the baseball. You know, he's the type of guy where, you know, I picked him up in a league. We all know this is not going to continue.
Oh, absolutely not. Like,
there's no chance. But ride it while it lasts.
Exactly.
And then, you know, as soon as you get – this is the type of player, AJ, that as soon as you get four games in a row where he's 0-4, 0-5, 0-3, you're like, all right, see you later.
Let me just tell you the last seven games about Paul DeJong, right? Last seven games included two home runs, seven RBIs, an average of .357, .424 OBP, and .607 slugging. So that's about 1,000 something. Oh, wait. No, that's Heliot Ramos. That is the last seven games. Who the hell would drop that? But whatever. I mean, I'm just, okay. You know, oh, he's got a couple strikeouts. You. Oh, no.
I'll tell you, it's the same guy who also just dropped Paul DeJong earlier this week. I am so pissed off at myself this week. I have made
you the worst moves. He had an 0-4 game, and you were like, all right, he's done. Got to wait at least a couple.
No. Well, so I cut him Tuesday. I needed because I lost a pitcher. I needed a reliever. I left the spot open Monday because I didn't care. It was a short slate anyways. But I needed another second reliever.
You play in the roster game. I know what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
The daily roster game.
It was a negative a 19 point swing against me because I picked up, you know, Hector Neris. Maybe we'll be talking about him later. I don't know. But he got absolutely shelled the day that I picked him up. And got a negative 12, whereas DeJong got a positive 11. So that was awesome. That was awesome.
So I did the same thing
to follow up today with somebody else who maybe we'll talk about. Like I said, I don't want to talk about this week.
But as a fantasy baseball tip, for those people out there that are playing daily fantasy or whatever, you should definitely have at least one spot open in your lineup that you have the latest, hottest pitch, you know, batter or pitch, or, you know, like a Pilar, a Ramos, a DeJong. Or in some cases, you keep Ramos on your team and then you use like the other spot for DeJong. It's whatever. But just that's something you should always think about, you know, that extra DH, that utility, that should be your cycling player. So just something, again, tip for everybody. That's how you should kind of structure everything. Not for you, AJ. I'm not picking on you.
No, I agree with that 100%. And it's like I said, I had a guy come off IL. I'm like short on roster. We do have short benches in that league. And it was just like, it was a struggle to try to figure it out. And I'm paying the price for it, unfortunately. So.
Yeah. So let's jump over here to some of the standouts in a negative way. The guys who have not been hitting so great the last 14. I'll start here since I went last. The guy who and only because it's a little personal for me, Alec Bohm, really, really struggling here it feels like more than a couple of weeks with him, honestly. I did not dig into the numbers, but he has struggled mightily. I have not dropped him. I have him in the Fantasy Six Pack Series League, but he has been sitting on my bench for quite some time. I finally was like, all right, your OBP of, 204 the last 2 weeks is not cutting it, man. I need you to Moneyball, get on base, man. This ain't happening. So I think he'll turn it around. The Phillies offense is still good despite some injuries, but you know, right now it's just a cold streak for him. It happens. There's a lot of guys on this list that I think it's just they're just in a cold streak, but there's also some ones on this list, and I'll let you guys call them out, that I think you might be looking to make a tough decision. Dap.
Well, all right. Let me just ask a question here. Of the names on this list that we have here, which one is the least surprising to you? Because I'll tell you who's mine.
Surprising?
Yeah, least surprising out of these names. Oh, yeah. Adele.
Least surprising would be Adele.
Yeah, Adele.
Yeah, Adele. Adele. Yes. Yes.
And you know, the thing is,
and it's tough. There's a lot of guys here that they're kind of like,
right. And look, we can go on all that. I just want to call that out because, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, he's changed. He's the same guy that he's going to have when he's hot.
I dropped him like a week and a half ago. Cause he had been cold for a while.
Yeah.
I kind of just kept hanging on to him hope because he did it earlier in the year. He started getting cold and then it was like, oh, he started hitting home runs again. And
exactly.
I was like, all right, fine. Look, and then it was like, now he's cold, and like it just never came back around. I'm like, all right, you're done.
You can make a lot of money if you could somehow time the Adele ownership and starting correctly. Yeah. I mean, when he's hot, he's hot. But anyways, so that's just what it is.
Can we talk about your boy here?
Yeah, I was actually going to call him out. So David Schneider, right? So this is part him performing, but also part of the Blue Jays getting rid of somebody who we'll talk about later. And then replacing that person with Spencer Horwitz, who has become this on-base machine. I mean,
he does.
That's all he does. That's all he does. He just gets on base. I mean, he's the Steve Kwan north of the border. I don't know. Like, the thing is, I think
we're just going to share this now, Dap, because...
Thank you. I was hoping you were... I was trying to kill some time.
There's no reason to wait for it. I'll zoom in a little.
So wait, they put like the team lawyer into the lineup, and he's he's just hitting the ball.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
It's on base. He just does, and then so of course I had to go out and find this because he gets on base. You'll appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for showing me the happy times when I was an Oakland A's fan. Look, I mean, Horwitz was picked up everywhere in leagues that I had, you know, 20 some odd teams, or I was an AL only. Horwitz was a huge pickup this week because he's basically the David Schneider of what David Schneider was supposed to do. Schneider was hot for the last month plus. And then, you know, they started messing with his playing time again. And I thought for sure he's going to have consistent playing time when they got rid of somebody who we'll talk about later, but instead they didn't. And so, I'm surprised that
named.
He should not be named, but it was also surprising to seeing two Torontos on this. I mean, not really considering how they're playing, but preseason, I thought Toronto was going to be just a launch pad and it's just not happening.
Yeah. I mean, look, I wasn't a big Bichette fan coming into the season, but I wasn't expecting it to get this bad. I mean, there was at least the oh, he's gonna hit for a good average. There was at least the okay, he'll hit a few, you know, he'll get to at least like 20 home runs, 25, right? He'll, you know, he's that kind of player. I didn't think Bo Bichette, unless something drastically changes, change of scenery, whatever it has to happen, new batting coach. Something's got to change drastically for him because he's not the player he was when he first came into the majors. He's just not. And he hasn't been for a couple of years, honestly.
Yeah.
That player is long gone, in my opinion. And, you know, I was hoping I was wrong, but I unfortunately am not with him. Right. And it's just a matter of he's just not really. I mean, come on. He went from 25 stolen bases in 2021 and he's looking at 4 so far this year. I mean, it's better than last year so far, but it was a guy we were going to do
30-30, right? We thought 30-30 for sure for Bo Bichette. Two years ago.
So there's a handful of names on here that are, you know, guys that we've talked about a ton this season so far. Mostly, you know, some mostly good, some mostly bad. So it's not surprising to see Julio Rodriguez on here, although he was turning it around. We were starting to think, okay, he's coming out of this now. This is the guy I spent my like first or second round second draft pick on.
Well, second overall pick, most likely.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, okay, good. I'm cashing back in on this. You know, Riley's another one we'll get into a little bit later. Ellie, not really surprised to see this because of what we saw from him last year, where he started off and was crazy good, and then he fell off hard and never really got back. And then this year, like you said, we've seen it already this year. So, I mean, I think that's the big kicker is a lot of these guys who you spent, you know, high dollar, high draft round capital on, still struggling, and we're in June. Like, it's not good.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I'll say about Julio Rodriguez is the last like 6-7 games, he is hitting close to 300. Just right. The power just isn't there. Like, something's missing from him, and
yeah,
you know, it's really hard to put your finger on it, because you know, you look at a lot of the underlying stats and they're all fine for him. It's just the ball's not carrying for him for whatever reason. He's not making as much hard contact, that type of stuff. But a lot of other things are kind of right in line for him, and it's just baffling to me to see him struggle for this long. You know, he got off to a cold start last year. A lot of people pointed that out. We did too. Turned it around pretty quickly, but it's just not working. Ellie, he was the one when you asked the question, Dad, like, who is the least surprising? I almost wanted to say him, because really? We know, like, look, I'm not gonna drop him. Because you know, next week he's going to hit 6 home runs and steal 10 bases. Like, that's what he does. But you get stretches like this where he's a less than average baseball player for long stretches. And he's just, it's like at the end of the season, we're going to be like, oh man, he was so awesome. But man, it's so hard to roster a guy like this, because he'll kill you for stretches at a time in head-to-head leagues. It hurts. You know, Chisholm's right there with him. You know, Garcia is one who I cannot quite figure out what is going on with him.
Negative.
I know you roster him.
Yeah.
WRC plus.
And you almost had a chance of like trading him, and I was like, nah, dude, I don't think I could do it. He was like hot as fire, like at the beginning of the season. I didn't think that pace was going to continue, but this has gone like complete 180. I mean, he was like, all right, I'm good. Like, we're done, right?
Yeah.
Like, what happened? A negative WRC plus. Like, what? Holy crap.
He's like, we're playing a COVID season again, right?
Who knows, man? All right. You guys want to switch over to some pitches?
Yes.
Pitch, all please. Right,
so, little less players here.
Little less.
AJ, we will start with you. Who out of this list of, and I'm sorry, I'm used to not having to call up the names here, but Jack Flaherty, Brian Wu, Matt Waldron, Tanner Houck, Garrett Crotchet, and Kevin Gausman are the 6 standout good pitchers for the last 14 days for us. Who kind of stands out to you here?
I want to talk Waldron. But Wu was the reason that I lost a start and my whole week has been shot. So I'm blaming it on him.
Are you sure it wasn't because you dropped
him? He's been awesome.
Yeah, I
dropped him after. That was after. I grabbed DeJong and then dropped him first.
I don't know, man.
But no, Wu has been phenomenal.
Butterfly effect.
So yeah, exactly. But Waldron, I mean, whew. This is awesome. Like, I mean, it's fantastic to have a knuckleballer back in the big leagues. Like, we haven't seen it in a while, and you know, he's just been nearly unstoppable. I'm just very impressed with him in general, with what he's done. Sorry, I'm like trying to scroll down to get to him because I have him on a team. I want to look at the stats there.
So while you're doing that, AJ, real quick.
Yeah.
Dap, remember a couple of weeks ago, I asked you, I was like, Matt Waldron's sitting down on my waivers. I feel like I really want to get him. I needed strikeouts bad on this team. And you were like, well, as long as you're okay with him crushing your whip. Since then, by the way, he has decided to walk anybody.
Yeah.
Which has been incredible.
That's the book on knuckleballers, right? I mean, they don't know where the ball is going to go. And I don't know what to say. Waldron is an absolute unicorn. It's amazing.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying you were wrong. I was just, it was just funny that happened.
No, immediately. Agreed, 100%.
Like, he's going to destroy your whip. And I was like, you're not wrong. But I needed a lot of my studs got knocked out for the year. So my K per nine is 8.5 right now. And I'm getting demolished in strikeouts. There's just nothing I could do. So I was like, I got some dude on the waiver wire right now that's pitching, close to 9 per 9, a lot closer than the rest of my team, if not over it. And I'm willing to take the chance. So
and since
pretty nicely.
Yeah. So since the 24th of April, really, between the 24th of April and the 23rd of May, so basically a month's worth, 6 starts, he averaged 2 walks, which is, right in line with what you were saying, Joe. Basically 2 a game. And his strikeouts were kind of all over the place.
But he was going 3 and 5 innings. So
exactly
bad, and that, especially when you factor in all the hits he was giving up then.
Yeah. Well, actually, he went. But
then he just started putting
6 innings the first 2 games, 3 innings, then 5, 5, 5, 5, 5.
Yeah, there we go.
So that's where it's dropping down. But his K numbers were kind of lower to start there too, and then popped up 6, 10, 7, 8. 4-4 past 2 games. He's only had 2 walks since the 23rd.
I know,
which is awesome.
3 outings, which is
incredible. 3 outings, all over 6 innings, all quality starts, and 2 wins in those. Now, granted, the competition maybe not the best with Miami, the Angels, and Arizona, but who cares? I mean, it's still stats that are going to count and help your teams, to win, especially in totally points leagues. What's that?
I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah. So if for whatever reason he's out there,
at here?
Go get him.
Yeah. I mean, look, the most surprising here is Jack Flaherty. I mean, without a doubt,
long has been Jack Flaherty.
Yeah. So, I mean, somebody who, when he got traded to Baltimore last year, we thought, okay, maybe he's going to, change the scenery from St. Louis. And he was terrible, right? So almost 7 ERA. And this year is completely out. Just, I saw him in auction leagues. I saw him everywhere. And I didn't want to touch him for anything. And then he had a couple of good starts. I was like, okay, whatever. And he's continued this. And I can't believe it. Just absolutely mind blowing that, Flaherty's there. And I had Flaherty in a even season long dynasty, whatever, I'd be trading the heck out of it.
Right? Yeah.
Anywhere I could trade him, I would trade him. Short of, best ball, something like that. I'd be trading him because I don't know who, what leprechaun he has in his pocket.
Pitching in the state that it's in, when you look at the names on this list, look at the ADPs of a lot of these top pitchers right now that we're talking about. And granted, this is a short sample size, but a lot of these guys, Flaherty, Wu, Waldron, Howe, Krawczyk, they've been at the top of the list all year long. ADPs of 330, 180, 660, 360. These guys weren't drafted.
Right.
I mean, this is the state of pitching right now. Strider's gone for the year, right? The Verlanders came back and he's terrible. Like, these guys that you normally and typically can rely on have not been great this year. Even the guy at the bottom of the list, Kevin Gausman, I highlighted him. His WOBA was decent enough that I was like, it's sort of good. Gausman has been the typical stud pitcher this year that has just been you want to put your head through the wall sometimes with him. It has been so bad. And a couple games ago, I was like, all right, playing Baltimore, he's coming off 3 really good outings in a row. So I was like, screw it. Let's roll the dice, right? Six earned runs in six innings. Thankfully, he at least went six innings because it got ugly quick for him. He actually just like they just kept him in there. And so I'm like, oh, next game was against Oakland. And I was like, all right, I mean, it's got to be at least be better. But like I wasn't like super confident because Oakland has shockingly like beat up on some pitchers this year. And yeah. You're like kind of like, huh. Where the hell did that come from? He goes out and throws a complete game, 10 strikeout,
masterpiece
shutout,
you know, just domination of a game. And I was like, holy crap. So yeah, like when you're looking at this line here on the screen from him in the last two games he has started, the six earned runs was in one game. You scroll over a little bit more, right? You're getting the 13 strikeouts. 10 of those came in one game. Like, just utter craziness from, you know, a guy who just dominated last year. Like overall, his strikeout numbers have not been good. He's a guy who I was really like when I drafted him as my SP. I think I drafted him as my SP1 in a lot of leagues because I waited to the back end of the SP1. Then he kind of slipped because of the injury in the spring. I was like, I'm probably getting 11 Ks per nine at least from him, right?
Yep, right.
I mean, you're looking at like nine right now. It's
he had
what we were expecting.
Yeah, he had before the Baltimore game and his three strikeouts. Again, only three strikeouts against Chicago White Sox. Memorial Day weekend or week,
and another 10 against Detroit,
and then 10 the game before. Yeah. I was like, dude, what are you doing?
That's just found a quote from him or something, right? About how he was saying like he wishes he had just started the season on the IL just to get right.
Yeah, like, I'll have to find out. Man.
Yeah, that's but yeah, so he's the one where it's kind of like, man, it's so maddening sometimes, and then. You flip the script here, right, to some of these pitchers who aren't doing good. And another guy, and I remember the famous six-pack series league draft, and I went into it, and I was like, or maybe it was my best ball league. I forget which one, but I remember they came up on the draft board, and I was like, all right, I'm going pitching here. And I went Gausman over Pablo Lopez. And I remember kicking myself for it as soon as I did it. It was like, ah, I really like Lopez this year. Like, Gausman has been bad. At times, Lopez has been bad all the time, it feels like. He just cannot figure this out. And I don't know, Dap, we were talking pre-show about him, and you say that you still trust Lopez to be better than Gausman the rest of the way. I'm not so sure, man. Like, this is not looking good for Lopez. There's just... You got to explain that one to me because I keep thinking it's coming. And he kind of shows like a half decent game. And then he just gets obliterated again. And that's happening more often than the opposite. So I don't know what to think with him.
Look, I totally understand. And what I'm, you know, looking at is, you know, where is that kind of that buy low type pitcher that I'm totally going to invest in, right? And Pablo Lopez is definitely, for me, that person. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can kind of say, hey, you know, what do these metrics look like and things of that nature. And the underlying metrics for Pablo Lopez show somebody who's turning things around, albeit slowly. So, and again, just on an overall perspective, I trust the Twins more right now than the Blue Jays in almost every facet. I've had Kevin Gausman on a team multiple times. And this year I said, I'm absolutely not having Gausman. He's infuriating. And Pablo Lopez, I don't know. He's the ultimate buy low, you know, pitcher. He just the pedigree, who he has to play against, and you know, everything else there. He's got the AL Central versus the AL East. I would have Pablo Lopez over Gausman the rest of the season. And if you want to mark this, Mike, you can. And I would love to come back to this in a few months, see if I was right.
Yeah, I feel like I would have trusted Lopez more than Gausman as well. And possibly still do. I mean, I just for that main reason that you mentioned that he pitches in the Central, like I love pitchers in that division because you know what they're pitching against. And I feel like Lopez, you know, I don't have any shares of him this year, so I haven't had to struggle with this, but I feel like every time I looked at what he was doing, it was one of his good games. And looking back at it now, there's only like three of those good games that I guess that's when I checked in on him. But it's like, oh, what's Pablo up to? Okay, all right. Yeah, he's doing all right. He's doing his thing.
Yeah.
And then it's, yeah, I mean, man. Okay, 7 earned against the Yankees in New York. Understandable. 6 earned against Texas in Mini. Texas not as good as they were last year. So that kind of hurts. 7 against Washington. Whew. I mean, that's just bad.
the one thing I'll say about Pablo that does bad. Give me some hope is that, like, he's getting destroyed by the whole run ball right now.
Yeah, that's so exactly.
That comes back to his, like, if that comes down to his, like, you know, season average, then, yeah, he's going to be fine. To where Gausman is right around where you typically expect him for a lot of his numbers, except for the strikeouts. And so if he can, you know, if he can't start striking out more people, then yeah, his value won't climb over what it is now. And he's not going to be able to get out of the jams that he does in certain situations. He's going to have these blow up games more often than he usually does. So they both have things to work on. It's just a matter of which one's going to figure it out first. I'll say at least to this point in the season, Gausman's been better. So, it hasn't been good for either one. And,
yeah, and look,
Chad, I think here in the comments is sort of agreeing. He sort of didn't really like either one of them, but
yeah. Look, I think the thing is is that, you know, giving advice moving forward, right? I think Pablo is the way to go. When you look at the home run numbers, right, this home run rate, there hasn't been a discernible increase in hard hit rate. Or the barrels against Pablo Lopez. So even though there is definitely a home run rate increase, it's crazy. There's not like that underlying numbers like, oh, his stuff has decreased. So again, just another kind of push there for Pablo Lopez. So I apologize. Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be a Pablo Lopez, fanboy today, but you know, obviously.
Don't worry. We'll let you rant one more time tonight. And you know, we all know where that's coming, but. All right, so that's it for part one of this week's episode of the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. I want to thank you for listening. Make sure you hit that follow button. Leave those 5-star reviews. We appreciate it. And make sure you tune in for the next part. Thank you.